Greetings from K9 to Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum, Diddly-Dum. End of message.
Done, faithless listeners, is we've inserted this as a brief special podcast to give you our reactions to a piece of news which has recently burst onto the Doctor Who sphere. But unlike a lot of these podcasts who they just allow their true feelings to show through, we're going to remain, as is our reputation, calm, objective, and look at things from a dispassionate point of view. So we now go to the Whoseum to meet the podcasters. Oh, sorry, are we on air? Are we on air? Happy day, faithless listeners, and welcome to episode 152 of the Diddly Dum podcast, the fourth best Doctor Who podcast out there. I'm Doc.
I'm Hayden.
And I am Mark.
Well, we won't fuss around with too much of an introduction. You all know what we're talking about. A couple of days ago, we were all rocked by a piece of surprise news. I'm not sure to what extent we were more rocked by the news or by the fact that the BBC had managed to keep it a complete secret for so long.
Actually, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, go for it.
Now, what happened? It was, I think, Hayden messaged me a link to the announcement, didn't you, Hayden? That was what happened originally.
I seem to have this slightly unhealthy addiction to Twitter where I seem to keep checking it every sort of 5 minutes at the moment, and luckily enough, I happened across this press release from the BBC. Say about something about, I've never heard of him, but this RTD coming back as Doctor Who showrunner. I mean, it's, I'm not sure why a droid from Star Wars should really be RTD2, yeah. We need to call this segment that, surely.
RTD2?
Well, have you seen on his Instagram page, about a week ago, he was tweeting the meme RTD.
Oh, has he started that himself? Oh, that's very clever.
Oh, also, he posted a picture of himself on Instagram with him sort of looking over his shoulder at a photograph of him from the first RTD era in the background, looming over his shoulder.
Oh, yes, he didn't. Oh, how interesting. Oh, we may discover lots of these things are coming up, mightn't we? Anyway, of course, the news is that the Doctor Who showrunner from 2005 to 2009, the great Russell T. Davies, is returning.
I was, I just picked my daughter up from school and got back into the flat. And I put the radio on just as the news was saying that RTD was the new showrunner of Doctor Who. And I couldn't quite believe it. And then I immediately went onto Twitter and I found the BBC announcement. It's quite near the top of my feed and I clicked on it. And there was only like about three comments on it by that point. And so they must have announced it about the same time they announced it on the radio. I got a very visceral shot of joy suddenly up my spine. It's like, yes! Which shocked me. It was a real shock of joy to the system, just involuntarily.
Well, the announcement was Russell T. Davies will take control of the TARDIS once more as the next Doctor Who showrunner, succeeding Chris Chibnall, who departs next year. Russell T. Davies will make an explosive return to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who in 2023 and series beyond. BBC Studios are partnering with Bad Wolf to produce... Oh, here we are, my favourite game. Russell says, I'm beyond excited to be back on my favourite show, but we're time-travelling too fast. There's a whole series of Jodie Whittaker's Brilliant Doctor for me to enjoy, with my friend and hero, Chris Chibnall, at the helm. I'm still a viewer for now. Now, that actually does sound like Russell did actually say that.
Yeah, that does sound like something he'd Although, write, do you reckon, actually, as opposed to the usual journalese.
Do you reckon he had a gun to the head when he said, am I hero, Chris Chibnall?
Whereas Chris Chibnall's comment sounds a little more like it was constructed by three committees in the BBC press office. It's monumentally exciting and fitting that Doctor Who's 60th anniversary will see one of Britain's screenwriting diamonds return home. Russell built the baton that is about to be handed back to him. Doctor Who, the BBC, the screen industry in Wales, and let's be honest, everyone in the world, have so many reasons to be very excited indeed about what lies ahead. So what was your reaction, Hayden? Immediate reaction.
Okay, so just to fill you in here, listeners, a little peek behind the curtain here at Diddly Dum Towers. We've only ever converged after a piece of monumental Who history,
yes,
let's say, on two occasions. One of them was after directly after Fugitive of the Jadoon, and secondly was after this news. And I must admit, when I first heard it, now, to lend some context to what I'm about to say, I'm currently in the middle of the 10th Doctor marathon in time for our retrospective, which hopefully we'll be doing soon. And once again, I'm sort of picking apart in my mind the bits that I really didn't like from the latter sort of RTD era. And I felt as though I was being quite negative on the conference call, as it were.
Yes.
While these two young scamps were sort of acting like it was Christmas Day, I was acting as though it was New Year's Day and I hadn't been invited to any parties. But actually, I've had time to reflect on it. And the things I don't like about RTD's era, very much, like I said, kind of heading towards the end of his... And bits of Series 3 and... Well, bits of Series 2, 3 and 4, essentially, is where my issues stand with him. But it's not necessarily to say that he's going to make the same mistakes again. He's not going to have a vain, egotistical, narcissistic Doctor again, because he's already done that. He's not going to have the Doctor falling in love with a teenage girl again, because he's already done that. So it would be really interesting to see Russell T. Davis take up the reins again and do something new with it. And this isn't like Stephen Moffat coming back. You know, Stephen Moffat wrote for the show consistently for 12 years, whether it be in a showrunner capacity or as just a writer coming to it. Russell T. Davis has had, what was it, 13 years, is it? No, 12 years away from the programme. And by the time he would have come back, it would be 14 away from the show. So he's going to be fresh. And not only that, but I think the stuff that he's done since he's left Doctor Who have been bloody brilliant, actually. I think there's only one programme of his I haven't seen, which is Cucumber, so I can't really pass judgment on that. So actually, I am excited to see it. And I think I'm more excited for the fact that it kind of means to me that Doctor Who's going to be safe for several years going forward.
I'd have to be careful how I edit that last bit, Hayden. We don't want to accidentally lose the last syllable off you saying, I don't want a vain, egotistical, narcissistic doctor.
Well, I don't have a choice about my vain, egotistical, narcissistic doc, but anyway, there you go.
Well, I have to say that I think both Mark and I were just... It was just a moment of unalloyed pleasure for us, wasn't it, Mark? Maybe we're naive, maybe we're...
Old romantics,
as I was thinking of. But I don't think it will come as a great surprise to any of you to realise that watching Doctor Who has become a bit of a chore for me over recent years.
No, has it?
And suddenly the thought that it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a bit of a cliche to say it's going to be back in a safe pair of hands. But it just filled me with, at a time when other things are going so badly, especially on the football sphere of things, it cheered me up immensely. Mark, you gave me the impression that you were just as giddy as a schoolboy too.
Yeah, I was. It's just, like I said, it was the shock of it. I think that's what was so great about it. Like Hayden said earlier, it hadn't been spoiled. There wasn't any rumours about it. I think even Russell T Davies commented, I think he was, when he came along for the lockdown Twitter rewatches, around that time, I think, was it around that time? I think there was also an interview with him asking him if he'd ever go back to do Doctor Who. And I think he said, I don't know anymore because I don't really know how to run a sci-fi show like Doctor Who anymore. So I wouldn't consider coming back. It's all a bit beyond me these days, which a lot of people took to be a criticism of Chris Chibnall, which it wasn't if you read the whole article.
His hero, Chris Chibnall.
Yeah, his friend and hero. So it really came out of the blue. Just absolutely delighted. And the other wonderful thing about it is that I'd say 99% of social media that I saw, I've not indulged in much social media lately, but I went on Twitter just to have a look and see what people were saying about this. And I think it just completely reinvigorated fandom. I think it gave it a real massive shot in the arm that I think probably you'd only get if a missing episode had turned up normally. You know, it was that
absolutely
kind of blanketly positive. I agree, there's issues with lots of bits of Russell T Davies' past era, which we'll go into when we do the David Tennant retrospective. But, you know, it's just lovely news. And I think it's lovely as well that he's doing the 60th.
Yeah.
That feels right. Yes. It kind of feels a bit like when they got Terence Dix in to do Five Doctors. You know, it's just somebody who, it feels good for somebody who's given so much to Who in recent years. Well, you know, 12 years ago, admittedly. Feels good that he'll be in charge of the 60th as well.
That's extraordinary, isn't it, to think that was 12 years ago that he left?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely bonkers. Yeah.
But it's a good amount of time to come back. I mean, it is. The one thing I am a little worried about with this news is that I hope it hasn't been a situation, because obviously, that, like, BBC Studios won't be making Doctor Who anymore. It will be this Babel Productions, which is basically Jane Tranter and Julie Gardner back. And I'm a little worried about the prospect that this potentially could be, well, it's either we bring back Russell T Davies or we don't make it anymore. Because I do get the feeling that even though Series 11 on the whole actually was a big success, because it had as big a viewing figures as a Series 1 did even back in 2005. I was looking at it and they almost mirror up maddeningly similar all throughout the run. And Series 12 was a bit, I mean, I know viewing figures were down everywhere, but it just felt that with Series 12 there was a lot more disharmony among fandom. And I don't think as many people were watching it anymore either. And there's a long number of reasons behind that. Obviously, TV has changed and all the rest of it. But I think bringing back Russell T Davies, you're guaranteeing yourself a few things. Number one, you're guaranteeing yourself a shot in the arm with viewing figures, because Russell T Davies appeals to the masses.
Yeah, Polly said, my 20-year-old daughter who watched all of Russell T Davies' era and all of Moffat, but it's kind of started disappearing. Yeah, she's barely watched any of the Chris Chibnall ones. She just hasn't enjoyed what she saw. She said she'll definitely be back watching.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's also really good at characterisation, which is something which I think Chibnall has been lacking in. He's also very good at world building. I mean, don't forget, this is the guy who effectively started the, the multi-genre then. But, well, in a way, multi-genre, yeah. He started up that sort of Doctor Who universe on telly, didn't he? Where you had Torchwood and the Sarah Jane Adventures. I know he spoke about that, about, you know, old Doctor Who should be doing that now, and we were a bit early doing it. And, of course, they all sort of, to quote the Fifth Doctor, those spin-offs detached themselves like melting icebergs at the end of the day. But he was very good at, you know, there'd be a link with an episode, something like The Unquiet Dead, let's say, with the, you know, the Gwen Cooper's ancestor, and then all of a sudden she's there, and then you've got the rift, which effectively sets up Torchwood that early on. You know, it's stuff like that which I think is another great asset of his. And secondly, thirdly, he is one hell of a good showrunner. He knows how to do it, and it's kind of like, it's like the Spurs manager situation. You look around and you actually, there aren't that many people who can do the job at the moment. You know, when you look at things, When RTD, when he hung up the keys in the first in his first stint, it was so blatantly going to be Stephen Moffat because he'd written the best stories of his era, of RTD's era, sorry. You know, the stuff like Girl in the Fireplace and God, The Empty Child and Silence in the Library and, of course, Blink. You know, they were the jewels in those seasons, early seasons. But with Moffat, there wasn't a standout candidate like we'd had before. And you kind of get the feeling that Chibnall hasn't... I think I said this when he announced he was going to be leaving. I don't think he's enjoyed it. And I don't think you can put yourself completely into a job and get the best out of it or give the best version of you in a job if you don't want to be doing it. So I think that experience is going to be proven valuable. And also, I saw someone else speaking about this online. I did wonder whether they're making a really good point about this. This Bad Wolf production kind of makes it Doctor Who becomes an independent production made by people who know how to make it.
Yes, I think that's interesting.
That's what I was going to say. This is not a new production team like they had with Chris Chibnall, which is fair enough. That's what he's entitled to do, and quite rightly, really. But look at the amount of episodes we've started getting per year over the course of the years. And I just think an actual production company that's not spinning as many plates as the BBC and trying to please so many people.
Yeah. Mm.
They can put more time and more effort into it. Hopefully we'll start getting longer series again. Hopefully we'll get a regular series. I mean, we might get Christmas Day specials back, which would be lovely.
Yeah.
Because I have missed those.
I didn't like them at that. I always thought Doctor Who didn't sit very well on Christmas Day, but actually, I miss them now too. I think Moffat only wrote them Twice Upon a Time to keep it in the schedule on Christmas Day, didn't he? Because Chibnall didn't want to do Christmas. He said somewhere in an article. So, no, absolutely, I completely agree. And also, it frees up a bit of the money as well.
Yeah, it does, because when an independent production company is involved, that's money being spent that isn't on the BBC books. That mm-hmm. means like payment towards actors. It probably means payment. If Bad Wolf are hiring themselves, are essentially hiring Russell T. Davis, then he's on their books. He's not on the BBC books. So it frees up money for the BBC accounting as well.
Yep. And remember, this is at a point as well where things are turning a bit nasty with the BBC and the way that it's been, where its future kind of lays at the moment. I think actually Doctor Who probably is in better hands being taken away from BBC Studios for the time being, because we had an article a couple of weeks ago. Well, they were talking about they want to install more of a Britishness in TV shows again.
Hmm.
And it's looking as though things are going to get quite nasty there very soon. So having someone like Russell T. Davis at the helm, at an independent company, making it with people who know how to make Doctor Who, like you said, hopefully... I mean, we might not get 13 episodes in the Christmas special again, but, you know, we might get 12 or we might get 11 or something, or 10 and then a Christmas special or something. But just to put it out every year and to know when it's on, you know, if it's an April start or a May start or whatever, just to know when it's going out. Because he still can't... Doctor Who wouldn't work as a sort of Netflix series drop.
No.
I think it does still work being scheduled. And certain shows are special in that way, and Doctor Who is. It's one of the last bastions of scheduled television, really.
I think there's still enough people who take pleasure in appointment to view television, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes it feel like an event. I mean, admittedly, the numbers have gone down in recent years, but the audience for that is still there. And to me, it adds certain lustre to the entire series, as opposed to, like you say, if it was all just, oh, there we are, there's 12 episodes of Doctor Who, off you go. It takes away all the fun of, you know, if we'd done it for the last series, people would, in 12 hours after it's been released, somebody would have watched the entire series and would be going on about the Timeless Child, whilst other people were still trying to just watch it, you know, one episode a week.
Hmm. It's a bit like one of those festive novelty-sized Toblerone bars, where you got this huge chunks of Toblerone, and you can't have it all in one go. You've got to have it bit by bit.
Have you?
Well, okay, Mark. Well, that's where you and I differ, but there we go. It sounds like there's a bit of a vacuum in the creative arts industry because so many people have lost you know, had to take up other jobs because they weren't supported during the pandemic. So it's definitely the shot in the arm. The one thing I am, I know this sounds a little bit minor, but I was a little, I felt a little bit sorry for the makers of the Evil of the Daleks animation, because just gearing up to a weekend of the pre-orders trickling out to fans and all the rest of it, and then this big news came along, and I actually saw someone had taken that famous gif of the man holding hands of the woman but looking over another woman. That's it, the meme, sorry, yeah, that's it. The meme of the man holding hands with a woman whilst checking out another one. And yes, they put Russell T. Davies' head over the woman and then put Evil of the Daleks over the one looking disgusted. Yeah, I thought that was very good.
Yes, it's the meme that keeps giving.
Yeah, exactly. But no, exciting times ahead. I just hope there is enough to enjoy in the next 2 years from Jodie's final series and the final special. Because, I mean, like I said, it hasn't been brilliant. There's been moments I've really enjoyed. But on the whole, you know, Series 11, I think most of that I was quite down upon. Series 12 I thought was a lot better. But again, it's starting again from a very low base. And it'll be interesting to see how this, I think it's 6 specials this year then. Is it 3 the year after? I can't remember how they've scheduled it now. But anyway, we've got a lot to go spread over a long period of time. Although, actually, I say that, looking at the date, we've only probably got just over another year, haven't we, of Jodie?
Yes, no, there'll probably be no Chris Eccleston for the 60th, though, will there? So,
no, but I...
But then would there have been anyway?
No, exactly.
I suspect not. He still seems very... okay, he clearly loves being the Doctor and he's enjoying doing his big finish, but I think his feelings towards the BBC probably remain the same, regardless of who's running the show.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also Russell T. Davies himself, because I think he's pointed out recently that he was one of those he wasn't very happy with. But anyway, there we go. Oh, does that mean we're guaranteed David Tennant in the 60th again?
Well, that's if he doesn't pop up before, because there's a lot of speculation that he'll pop up in Jodie's last season, isn't there? Or during the specials.
Oh, Jesus wept.
I thought you'd take that with some grace.
I won't spoil my opinions on the 10th Doctor for...
I think everyone knows.
I don't know, Mark. I mean, they, some people may have got that hint, but I thought I covered it rather well.
Oh, I don't know. I think people might be able to just about read between the lines.
But no, exciting times are here again for Doctor Who. What kind of things do you want to see him do, though? Like, is there anything in particular, Russell T. Davies, is there anything in particular you want to see him bring back to the show? Please don't say Slitheen.
River Song. I'm just saying that to annoy people, or annoy some people anyway. No, I don't know. Just a kind of... Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's matured as a writer, and it'll just be really interesting to see, to compare and contrast.
I'm not sure about this stuff about them saying, we'll do it, but only with Russell T. Davies, because if you think about it, if they're even going to go for it, Bad Wolf, I mean, it's not exactly Julie Gardner's or Jane Chanter's metier, is it, Doctor Who? It's their experience is in supporting someone else doing it, and the one that they need in order to do it is Russell T. Davies, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you'd think Russell T. Davies is more like the bait to let Bad Wolf do it, really, rather than...
And I also don't see the BBC giving it to Bad Wolf unless Russell T. Davies is there in the first place. There's also the fact that the BBC's not got that much choice these days, haven't they? They have to put out all new productions to tender these days. Whether they like it or not, it's new rules the government's brought in. So... they may have had no choice but to put it out to Bad Wolf. But I'm glad, in a way, it's so much of a relief that it's given it to someone like Bad Wolf rather than Netflix.
Oh, God,
and other
yes.
people who are enthused about the idea. Wouldn't it be amazing if it was given to Netflix? Just think of all the money they could give it. You just think, oh, Christ, no. And you just wonder how much...
I think if you did something like give it to like Netflix or a co-production with HBO... or one of those things, you're going to end up with the TV movie again, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think also quite a bit of the reaction has been this a rather cliched attitude of this is necessarily a backward step for the BBC to do this. I mean, I don't know if people seriously imagine that in the last 11 to 12 years, the world has changed, TV has changed, audience expectations have changed. The only thing in the whole world that hasn't changed is the way that RTD writes and produces television. Even he, as well as all of us, learned from the past. I would imagine that you can pretty much guarantee that you won't get Barrowman and Clark again on Doctor Who. Not only because TV's changed, but because everyone's learned from the past. We may well get now 6 episodes rather than 13. It's the same way that when Sarah Jane Adventures was announced, or Liz's Return, I was thinking, oh dear, well, I think it'd be a bit embarrassing when she comes back for the school reunion, when she's doing all this rather stagey acting from the 70s and 80s, from the 70s, that doesn't work now. But of course, you forget that in all the time that since Hand of Fear, she's been doing other acting. And she, as everyone else, has developed into a more naturalistic form of acting. I think it's going to be good. Fingers crossed they don't cast someone like David Tennant. But do we think he's going to be writing much of it?
Well, I think he wrote a lot of the last one, don't he? I don't know if he... I'd think so. I'd expect him to write quite a lot, to be honest.
I think it'd be hard not to. But then again, I don't know, perhaps. It's interesting, because will he be bringing new talent to the table? You know, will there be somebody working on these shows? Because they said for series going forward, you know, we don't know how many that is going to be. Is there going to be 1, 2, 3? Is he going to have someone there that he's almost kind of going to be training up to be the next showrunner? Yeah. Are they going to employ from within next time? You know, and this is interesting, actually, because it reminds me, do you remember going back about a year, Doc, you said that you thought that it would be better if the next showrunner was someone who wasn't involved in the biscuit circle?
Yes, yeah.
Well, do you know what? Thinking about it, when you look back at the show during the RTD era, of course, yes, he uses people like Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat and Paul Cornell. These are very high-profile fans. But actually, Russell T. Davis, when he, you know, during the Wilderness years, was working on other things. I know he wrote a novel, but he felt detached to me during that period. He's not a name that comes up time and again, like Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss did. You know, he wasn't doing sketches on Doctor Who nights. He wasn't writing in Doctor Who nerds into his sitcom in the late 90s, early noughties. It's interesting now how you said that you weren't interested in having someone like that take over again. And even though it's gone back to RTD, he's not someone who I ever really associated with that sort of biscuit circle, as it were, in the first place.
Yeah. And it was the Three Who rule. I always got the impression it was more Julie Gardner and Phil Collinson who were doing the producer stuff. You don't have to think of Russell as a producer, do you? He's a writer, and maybe writer/script editor, and getting together other writers and working with writers their ideas. You don't think into too much as a producer, do you? Even though you may have a title of an executive producer or something. And I don't know whether he will just be doing the 60th, or whether he'll be doing the whole future series, or whether he is just bedding in Bad Wolf. We'll have to see, I suppose. But I also think that it needed this shot in the arm. I think one of the things that you can see... when is Doctor Who returning?
I've got no idea. There's been no announcement sometime this year.
Zero publicity, isn't there?
Yeah.
No one is talking about Doctor Who, and they finally are again.
Mm.
And maybe that's just because Chris Chibnall isn't that sort of person to publicise it like that. But I think maybe it is a good thing for Jodie's final fling, because it takes away the threat that she may have departed with the show being left in the lurch. Now no one can say, oh, Jodie destroyed Doctor Who, disappeared after she left, didn't it?
Mm.
Again, now she's just going to be one more in this succession of actors who've passed on the baton to the next actor. And yes, RTD's era wasn't perfect. I mean, I'm not really keen on the idea of having to go back through the David Tennant era for his retrospective. But there's a difference between the increasing flaws that we were seeing by 2009 and, well, purely from my point of view, what's becoming an almost unwatchable chore in 2021. So I suppose we'll see how we go. The idea of it being a backward step, though, is what are we going backwards to? Tired old, you know, out-of-date tropes like effective characterization, credible dialogue, an enthused fan base. I don't think that's anything we need to worry about. Even if it's just that the Doctor Who monthly production notes returns, that would cheer me up.
Yes.
Do we think this is going to affect who's likely to be cast as the next Doctor?
Well, it will. It'll be Russell T. Davies's choice, I would imagine.
Well, let's see. Let me rephrase that. This is affect our thoughts on who's likely to be cast as the next Doctor. It's interesting that it's only that recently that he brought up that Ollie Alexander thing, isn't it? Though you never know with those interviews. If he's talking about Ollie Alexander, does the interviewer say, oh, do you think he'd make a good Doctor Who? Now, Russell's never going to say no, is he? He's always going to say, oh, yeah, even if he has no intention of doing it. I've heard Lydia West suggested, who played Jill, who was the sort of the mother figure in It's a Sin. Hugh Grant, some people have suggested. Even that's the same, isn't it? Hugh Grant now is not the Hugh Grant of 12 years ago.
No.
I mean, he's been doing stuff like A Very English Scandal and Paddington 2 now, which is light years away from his sort of slightly ineffectual fop that he used to be in things like Four Weddings and a Funeral. Any thoughts of other people?
I think they'll go for a woman again. Yeah. Just because I still feel like they may feel that it was a bit of a failure if they don't go for a woman. If they think, oh, okay, well, you know, the reaction wasn't fantastic to Jodie Whittaker. I would actually like to see another female Doctor.
So, I think that's brought us to a nice end. But, oh, hang on. What's this envelope that's just been slid under the padded door which leads down to the diddly-dum boiler room? Oh, it's a cassette tape from classic diddly-dum host, the Reverend Captain Holu Porro. I was wondering where he'd been. The Rev's Bit, My Views on RTD. Let's play it and see what he has to say.
Up there! Send more Monster Munch. Yeah, Monster Munch, send it down. Yeah. Ah, hello, I'm the Rev. Down here in the boiler room of the Whoseum. Of course, I do my daily tours of the Whoseum, and it's there that I got talking to a student and was able to use language such as Metacrisis Doctor and Empty Children to talk proper Doctor Who to someone. Anyway, chap turned to the 60th anniversary and would a multi-doctor story be in the thing? Ha! Piped up the class TA. That's just copying into the Spider-Verse. Well, I puffed myself up like a gaseous robin, suddenly flowed out data about 3, 5 and 2 doctors, war doctors and more. Hell, I still had something to say. There are some uneducated Doctor Who chumps out there. And so, on the BBC, it's a time for trouble. Mr. Davies came to me, no one to us all was RTD. RTD, 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 RTD. Writing words of wisdom, RTD. Yes, Russell T. Davies has announced he's back. Each question has a number of answers. Why is he coming back? Well, after a triumphant batch of emotion-spanning dramas, culminating with the heartbreaking It's a Sin, perhaps it's time to reboot with some fun, some comfort food of inspiration. Hey, imagine the creation and production of those shows. It must have been exhausting. I imagine the wild field of potential of Doctor Who is almost like a health farm for the likes of RTD. Of course, the BBC could have offered him the unique chance to come back and do what he wants, with a stunning raft of talent such as Ollie Alexander, Lydia West and Tania Miller. How amazing to have the chance to revolutionise a UK TV institution to new levels. He must have watched this ensemble and thought off camera, I wish I could have met Doctor Who with these guys. I've grown so much with great people around me. Yeah. I didn't know RTD was the for the Enders Railway, did you? And the thing about RTD is he isn't just a writer. He's an expert in telling. He went to America, you know, with his mates, Julia Gardner, Jane Tranter, just after he left Doctor Who. That was to look at how the Americans were making telly, and that led to the formation of Bad Wolf Productions. Now to co-produce Doctor Who, former producer Piers Wenger, the now controller of BBC Drama, said Doctor Who would return after the Jodie Whittaker era, but in a very different format. It will. RTD often quotes how TV influences TV. He put pop songs in Doctor Who, influenced by The X Factor. He had making-ofs and spin-offs long before Marvel. Are you hearing this, TA? Perhaps his engagement is an opportunity to revolutionise TV. Will the show be back on a Saturday? Well, maybe. But I'm sure new episodes will drop on a Thursday and build a water cooler momentum. Perhaps on iPlayer or BritBox first. Oh, say the fans. Oh, but they can't change this. You can't change that. We have to be traditional. That's what they say. In 2005, old fans wanted the traditional cliffhanger. They didn't get it. Did it matter? No! Multiverses. Multiverses, eh? The TA's talking about multiverses. Well, Russell, he created a raft of shows back in his day. We had Sarah Jane, we had Torchwood. But he suggested in an interview a couple of months ago that he could potentially create a bigger barrel than Big Finish has to scrape. Yes, he's RTD. He is the Doctor Who Cooper making said barrel to scrape. Will Tennant be back? Yes, the Metacrisis version with Rose, because Billy says she wants to go back. Billy, one of the Bad Wolf umbrella stars herself. RTD and Bad Wolf have too many links and connections to make this fail. This is how you do a hiatus. This is how you kick the BBC into TV relevant landscapes. He's not just going to change the way Doctor Who is made. He is going to change the way the BBC makes telly. Bye bye, Auntie Beeb. Hi, cool Aunt BB. See.
So we're all quite enthusiastically looking forward then.
Yep.
Yes.
Right. In that case, we won't let this drag on too long. We'll cut a bit short. And anyway, the tail end of the Naked Conga outside in Biscuit Factory Square is just approaching the front steps of the Hooseum. So, get stripped off, lads. Go open the front doors, please, computer.
Yeah, can you pass the butter, please, Doc?
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Diddly Dun Podcast. Find us on our blog at diddlydunpodcast.wordpress.com, on iTunes, Facebook, Audioboo, and Stitcher.com at diddlydun, on Twitter at diddly_dun, or email us at diddlydunpodcast@yahoo.co.uk. Diddly Dun. Meaty, not runny. Top breeders recommend it because it's solid nourishment for the ears.